Just a little warning, this podcast has some swearing in it.
Welcome to Phone In with Honan. Welcome to the party.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back. Season 2 of Phone In with Honan. I'm being cool and calling it Season 2. I hadn't planned on seasons, but there has been a very long break between season 1 and 2. If you'd like to know more about why, I have recorded a ramble called a trailer. Have a listen to the season 2 trailer if you want to know why it's been so long since uploading podcasts. 5 months. It's been 5 months. Thanks for coming back, or welcome if you're new. Welcome. Today I'm talking to my friend Hannah Miller from a band that I love, who are amazing, called The Moulettes. And it was a really grounding and spiritual chat for me. We recorded this last month before this second lockdown that we find ourselves in now. As I record, we're in November, the year 2020. You can hear our brains really ticking over as we mull over. We talk about loneliness and human connection. French philosophy about attention and commitment, which I found really interesting. And we chat about Hannah's new music, and I stumble over an explanation in the podcast, but let me tell you very clearly, I have a script in front of me. The Moulettes are releasing a huge body of work throughout this year and next. The collection sees 11 songs written by Hannah, each song getting 5 reworked variations. A cappella, strings, horns, electric, and electronica, totaling eventually 55 songs. The songs Attention, which we talk about a lot today in the podcast, and Idiolect are out already, links in the description, and also in the Phone In with Honan and Spotify playlist. And for anyone who is interested, I also shed a bit of light on some of my own creative practices in today's episode too. Okay, let's get started. Hey!
Hello! It worked!
Did you just do a little drum intro to your arrival?
No, it's somebody smashing something.
Oh, that's gonna be a welcome bit of a percussive remix of the podcast as we go.
There's someone, the next door neighbour is drilling something. Should I just hang on a minute?
She's left the building.
Ollie, can you not bang things?
What's he doing?
I don't know, he could be doing anything.
Hi. Hi,
Hannah. Hi, how are you?
Nice to see you.
Are you feeling any better?
I have been feeling fine the whole time. I just had a fever for like a couple of hours, and then I had and then slept for an hour, and then I've had no symptoms. But because the country is in test overdrive, I think they're overwhelmed with numbers or something, so they just haven't like got around to letting me know.
So you've done the test.
I've done the test. Yeah. Where are you? Where's this?
I've just recently moved down Shepton Mallet.
Oh yeah. Is that where your family are as well?
They're not far, yeah.
Yeah.
They're nearby. Yeah. But it's not far from Bristol also.
Yeah, you're very close.
Not that I've been there.
Is this a studio that you're in, or is it just your house?
Well, it will be. It is my house, but this will be the room where the recording occurs. But it's in a bit of, it's not, it's in,
mate, is that
in
why,
progress.
Is that why Ollie's trying to bang things with hammers?
Yeah. Just got the lump hammer out at random.
Hey, we start the podcast with something new and good. To share. Have you got one?
Well, I just went for a walk just before this, and I was thinking about what was new and good today. Just before the walk, I realized that you can just refry rice with just cumin and a bit of coriander, and it's really nice.
And it's just a meal.
It's just a meal. Yes. It's great. And then I went for a walk, and we saw two alpacas and seven baby goats.
That's Shepton Mallet living, isn't it? Seeing wildlife.
It's quite an interesting place. It's a mixture. Like some of it looks like the south of France, and some of it's quite harsh. But there's quite a lot going on.
Oh, that's exciting. Have I got one? I think. I did a bit of yoga stretching, and my cat joined me, which is new.
Which cat?
Oh, we've only got one now. Did you know our other one's died? This one. I'll get her out. Hang on.
Mrs. Norris.
Nesbitt. Mrs. Nesbitt. There she is. Can you see her? She's very... she's confused. I'll put her back to bed.
Well, there was that weird occasion that I told you about when she turned up in my dream.
Oh, can you remind me of that? I feel like you did tell me that, but I can't remember. What happened?
You had a dream about your cat. I can't even remember what it was. But I think I told you because I thought, well, that's interesting. Never have met the cat. But obviously it's got quite a prominent social media profile.
Yes, she's very beautiful on the old Instagram. Also, my brother's really into dream interpreting, and so I tell him about my dreams. And I had cats the other day, and he said there's something about home, so maybe... But, I mean, it's so long ago that I don't know if you'll remember why you were dreaming about homeliness.
Well, I've been on tour for the last, I don't know, 15 years.
Yeah. Probably just craving and, like, sitting on a couch with a cat cuddle.
Yes.
Hey, you've got new music out, which I really love. I love it so much. It's Yay. So good. And it's like all the themes of like all the stuff that I want to talk about in my life. Of like, I've just been reading a bit about it, like human connection. Did you start writing about those themes before COVID, or was it like a response to COVID?
No, it was before. Most of the album was written.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Some of it as long ago as, hang on, time's gone weird, but 2 years ago, I don't know, even longer, when we sort of had a bit of a hiatus, and I've been writing since then, really. And very slowly it kind of started to coalesce. And then I looked at what I had and I was like, hang on a minute, all of these have this common thread. They're all about communication in some way. Mm. And I know that is a very broad, you know, it's for example, it's not that difficult to make something fit into that conceptual bracket. But there was, before I'd even realised it, there was a real sort of pokey connection between them. And I was like, ooh, I feel a concept coming on.
Yes. So
it is just really important. Well, even now more than ever, because we're just flailing around in this soup of uncertainty critical thinking, and just being clear is important, but also just looking after each other and trying to all the things.
Oh my gosh, these are my exact themes. I'm sure they're everyone's, but
live.
Yeah, I think they were before, like in my work, like I started working towards these themes of human connection and compassion and community. I think I was like learning those things in my life and in my counseling and in like the folk music that I'd played. I'd ended up on my own so much of the time, and I didn't want that anymore. And so like I definitely feel like those themes were there, but they've just like, it's just transformed in this weird year. I want to ask you if you, just because it's something that I thought today, not about you, but just about people, but you don't have to answer it if it's too heavy. But like, have you been lonely this year? Is that too much?
No, I'm just considering it. I have definitely missed my friends.
Oh, yeah.
I have missed... like communing, and I also think it's probably done something, you know, I think I might maybe gone a bit feral in my solitude.
Yeah,
but I'm at home with my own company, and I actually really like and sort of long for solitude. But I haven't actually had that, but I have not seen my friends. So
yeah,
of course you can be lonely with other people. Yeah, I mean, it's been ups and downs, I would say, like.
Yeah.
You know, I melt down every 3 days, I would say.
Yeah, God, it's, yeah, the mental health has just been in the toilet. And I miss my friends. And, like, that's what's nice. I did this podcast at the start of lockdown and I think it really helped me. And then I stopped because I was busy with the album. And then I think it just occurred to me that it was a really good excuse to call people. And, like, someone like you who, like, I would normally see half a dozen times a year through gigs and festivals and, like, just haven't, like, had any communication with you for the whole time. Well, so
that's the shame, isn't it? It's the people on the fringes that you wouldn't necessarily meet by organising it. It just happens.
Well, and someone like our mutual friend Rena Connolly, like, love her with so much heart and just, but don't, you know, I only see her at festivals, but that doesn't mean that you're not, like, I don't know. Yeah, I think, yeah, I'm really missing people. I've just been thinking about loneliness because I think I've been lonely, but I've lived with my partner the whole time, so I haven't been alone, but I think I've been lonely.
I feel very much for people that became very isolated and people that struggle. Yeah, just there's all sorts of horrors unfold in that when you start thinking about what's happened to people that are already isolated.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was thinking about it too because my brother, like, he's often lonely, and he just mentioned this morning because we talk to each other often, he said, oh, can we talk today? I'm lonely. And I thought, God, that's such a, like unfolding theme. And also, like, feeling more lonely this year than I probably ever have in a concentrated section of time. Like, I'm not often very lonely. And then realizing what life is like for people who are, like, isolated and disconnect from the world in whatever way sometimes. And, like, yeah, there's been it's really, I think that I've seen a lot of, like, posts online from people with who might have accessibility needs who are just like, yeah, this is how we feel all the time. Like, can you keep hold of some of this accessible stuff that you've created overnight and, like, keep hold of it for us, like, when things kind of start coming back? So that's quite interesting. But I just read, I don't normally do, like, the podcasts aren't like interviews with research, but because I've on the Clash magazine article about Attention, the track that came out earlier this year, you mention a French philosopher. You read this quote from her that was, what, it's in the song Attention.
The full quote is, attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. And she wrote a whole treatise on the idea of attention.
Can you just say the quote again? Attention.
Attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity.
Oh, my God. And so did you go down at the, what's her name? Simone,
I guess it's W-E-I-L, so Vile, maybe?
Let's say Vile, Simone Vile. Did you go down the wormhole into her and her philosophy? What did you learn about her?
Yeah, I read about, because actually, you know, when I wrote that song ages ago, and it, the initial splat of it anyway, and I think I came across that quote in passing and it wasn't even attributed to her, and then I went back to it and started digging and finding out what she was about. And she is really a very radical activist and philosopher. I think she was a contemporary of Simone de Beauvoir, actually.
Can you tell me what you remember about her? I want to know things about her.
She actually became a Christian mystic towards the end, and she.
What's a Christian mystic?
Well, she became a mystic in the Christian variety.
Fact checking. Mystic. A person who practices mysticism, or a reference to a mystery, a mystic craft.
Method of thought rather than a doctrine. So,
okay.
Yeah, especially connected to the Catholic and Orthodox Christianity. Mm. But that was sort of later on. I think, Albert Camus said that she was the last great soul alive or something like that.
Wow.
But Camus was into her. But she wrote this whole treatise on attention as so what I got into, because there's actually on Friday is when the whole EP comes out. And the lead single, yeah, I'll send it to you. The lead single is the one that's already come out, which is the electric version. And that was quite tongue-in-cheek. It was meant to be fun. And it was really about just a quite simple message of extracting ourselves from the digital realm in order to make sure that we are communing with each other enough. So then the other four versions on the EP were to various degrees inspired by other stuff that I'd read around Simone Weil. And so she was talking about, because I think a lot of people have been thinking about, like, the way I see it is the world is kind of experiencing huge growing pains, and we've got like a few lenses that we're looking at things through. So we're looking through the Black Lives Matter lens at, and a lot of people are waking up to like systemic injustice, and COVID has also exposed a lot of that systemic inequality. Mm, and
yeah,
and a lot of people anyway think about, you know, like personal change, personal growth.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
That, personal growth always make me laugh. but I was just considering how do we affect like deep systemic change, and how and not to fall into the trap of like because all we can control is ourselves and the things around us, obviously, although you like a lot of people do far more and they strike out and they go further, and yeah, I think I'm always just trying to ascertain what I could be doing and what.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
yeah. So rather than, you know, getting bogged down in like, am I eating enough kale, but like more kind of like, does the change that I want to see, actually, am I inhabiting that?
Yeah.
Is what I'm doing reflecting what I want to see? But anyway, so she was talking, so back to Simone Weil, was talking about attention is an act of will. Change is an act of attention rather than an act of will.
Oh, change is an act of attention rather than an act of will. What do you think she means by that?
I think she means that it's part of a habitual, like, cyclical routine of focus rather than like, I will change this.
Yeah, so a kind of ongoing commitment.
I guess, yeah, commitment. Yeah.
But so when you have to bring your attention back again and again and again and shining your attention on it rather than deciding... Mm-hmm. In one moment, I have the will to change this thing. And like, once I've changed it, it's changed, you know, changed forever. It's like.
Yeah, which I think I sort of was reflecting on this as well, is in the sort of scheme of things of like well-meaning, but like, you know, how people, when people signal their opinions on social media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's true of anything that you know, when you're like, I'm definitely going to go running. And then you tell your friend, oh, I'm going running, and you almost feel like you've gone running. And there's something in your brain that's like, I've totally been running. But I basically did say this to my friend, and I have not yet been running. So I don't know. Actually, that's a conversation I had with Alabaster once, where he said, don't tell anyone your plans because you'll feel like you've already done them. But
yeah.
I think there's a... Like, this is not criticizing people that want to signal their support, because I think that's really important. But I think there's something in, I think we're all looking to do more, but it's how we make that commitment. There's sort of quite real and mundane ways to make that commitment, but it's finding out what they are and then doing them. I guess that's what I was reflecting on with that comment.
So, wow. I just feel like I want to sit down and think about all of that.
That's all right. It might not have. Did it make sense?
I'm not yeah, sure. Yeah, it did. It's just turned me inwards. I've just that theme of like commitments come up for me just very recently, because I've been talking to my brother about personal growth. And
hey man, I got some personal growths.
That really what my brother described as like the hardest part of any spiritual journey, which is, you know, you first do all the learning and you can get all of the facts, like about yourself or about systems or about how they work. And then, like, I guess for wanting change, that's the commitment of change. But for yourself, it is change. But I think for me, it's like acceptance. We've been talking about acceptance. So when kind of things are triggered with me, I then internalize them and hang on to them and go round and round and round and round them and destroy myself from the inside out. And so we've been talking about acceptance, and I've kind of been saying, like, but that's the whole thing. Like, I went through counseling and I learned all these things. I learned what triggers me. I learned why it does. I learned where it comes from. I learned how to understand myself, not wholly and completely, but I learned all this stuff. I was like, the next bit is like, now how do I be okay? Like, what's the next thing? And we've kind of been talking about acceptance, and he talked a lot about this idea of commitment, which I think is attention. I'm just like sewing together what you're saying about attention and that theme that I've kind of come up with in the last week of commitment and acceptance. Apparently there's a whole world of acceptance and commitment therapy. There's like a whole school of psychology around it. And it sounds a lot like my friend went through in and does now, practices in his AA. So I guess it is. That's super cool. What a cool...
Yeah, sorry, I'm mulling it over because, yeah, we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves. I'm hoping that that's going to wear off a bit, just, you know, with the advancing years. And also, I guess,
yeah,
I think when the lockdown first struck, although this didn't last very long, but my initial response was, oh, I've never felt this relaxed, actually, because suddenly I can't do anything. Really. And so I don't need to feel bad about the things I'm not doing. I just finally felt this sort of sensation, which was amazing.
Wow. But then we realized that there's an EP every
month. I know. Yeah. No, it didn't last very long because it was like, actually, we got loads of work to do. But yeah, it was.
You've like got on a train. I feel like this is how I see this, like this musical project that you started. Is like you've got on the train, and like as you got on the train also started immediately moving, and now you're like adding these carriages on as you go, and the train gets like longer and longer. But I think about that because this is this amazing journey, and we don't even know what it's going to look like and what it's going to sound like by the end of it. We as the listener, I mean, I don't even know if you've, I'm going to explain, I'll probably explain in the intro, but let me explain it now to people listening. You've written an EP of 5 songs and you are doing 5? No, wait, 11. There's 11 songs. Each of them you have five different versions. So one is like the original, one is a cappella, one is horns, one is strings, one is electronic.
Yeah, so electronica, electric, yes. A cappella, yeah. Horns and strings.
I should have let you describe it, sorry. But I'm just so excited. No, such a mad idea. But there's only one of them in the full set that's out at the moment, but you've just said Attention's going to come out this Friday, which will already be out by the time people listen, I think.
Yeah, so the first EP came out in June, and then
it's amazing.
Then we did get a bit delayed, but the second, because we moved house and everything is in chaos. But then the second EP will be out, on Friday the 11th, mm-hmm. And after that, we'll be in the pattern. So we're already the 11 songs exist, but they will probably change a bit, and I just don't know because I. Even though there are a few that are already written, like one of the ones that I'm particularly happy with on the Attention one, which is the a cappella one, and it's like really like a sonic hug. Mm. It's so cozy. It's got some beautiful singers on it, including Fale Nioke. Have you ever seen him?
No.
He plays sometimes with Alabasta.
I don't think so.
Yeah, from Guinea. He's kind of taking the lead over, and he just improvised it actually, and then I sort of arranged what he'd done. But
are you arranging all the remixes? I say remixes, but they're not remixes. They're, what are you calling them? Versions? Reimaginings?
Reimaginings is the nice whimsical
nice word. Yeah,
I like to say if I'm in a whimsical mood. There's actually loads of different I've actually had to find the
cinnamons.
Initially, I was saying iteration, but that's
That's a good one. Are you making them all? Are you arranging them all? Or are you giving them to like a vocalist and saying, "Can you arrange this into an a cappella vocal thing?" Or
we've got a guest arranger for the vocal one on the third EP.
Yeah,
we've had a bit more help from some amazing arrangers for the horns one, just because none of us are horns players, and I think it's really nice. I really, really love getting other people's perspectives on it anyway. I think we're trying to get a balance of quite, sometimes it's a direct translation, like so the Idiolect one, for example, the strings one is pretty close to the original song in structure and mood and stuff, although it's got a totally different sound palette, but some of them are really abstract and I quite like that as well. And it's like finding where the links are, but also for me it's about, in line with the theme of communication of the whole project, it's kind of about recontextualizing the ideas and then looking at them from a different angle and drawing something different out in each version, that you kind of meditating on a different idea in each different version.
Hey, why like you had 11 songs and you had a beautiful album of beautiful songs, like why? Like, I'm on board. This isn't a judgmental why. It's like, why? How? Why?
I think there were a few reasons. I mean, the idea really appealed to me. I really love writing and rewriting. And I love arranging and rearranging. And, you know, within the band's history, I think we've always been pretty eclectic. There's always been a big, strong string presence, a big harmony presence, a bit of a proggy sort of electric presence, and there's actually a really healthy collection of remixes, and I love the remixes that and I love working, I actually really enjoy working with electronic music because it's sort of infinitely flexible, and I really like using field recordings and samples and stuff like that, sample libraries. And we have worked a bit with horns, we did some chamber stuff, so all of those elements are in what we've already done. And it was Ollie's idea actually. And as soon as I kind of really caught onto it, because he was like, "Hey, so it's album 5, maybe we should do 5 albums." And that's how it was going to be. But I actually think because we had to change, we were going to do 5 tours as well and fill the calendar and use interesting spaces, you know, it's like, so we could take the a cappella ensemble. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping this will still happen.
Well, you still can, next year maybe.
Maybe, who knows? I don't know. Counting chickens, but so being flexible about what stages and what spaces like you can do, and filling the calendar, which, as you know, it's not always easy, because of like practical things, like promoters don't want you to do a gig too close to this other gig. But I mean, if it's a different thing, then that's different.
Yeah,
and also bloody mindedness, and. Yeah, I mean, I think a kind of criticism that's been leveled at us a lot is like, we don't know what this is, it's too much, and it's too eclectic, and then,
What?
So, and I just thought, fuck you.
But people always say that about change and things that shift their ideas and things that shift the culture around the way that, like, we make what we make. I love it because, as well, like, songs, when you write them, I don't know how you write, but I presume at some point you've pretty much written something on like one instrument and voice. And so like from that, maybe not always, but for those songs, definitely it's like there's a moment before you go down a road that there are like so many roads you can go down with the song. Like, do you make this a beautiful? And on those other albums, that's what you do. You're like, okay, this one we're going to make loads of strings, or this one we're going to make loads. And you've just like been able to take the song down all the roads, which is so cool.
Yeah, well, I always, because you know, you've probably experienced this as well. And I guess, I mean, by the way, I love your singles. I haven't actually heard the whole album yet. That is my next delightful pleasure that I will take, but I've really enjoyed the ones I've heard. And
thanks.
I don't know how much you got to play them live before you recorded them, or did you, because you were doing quite a lot of concerted touring, weren't you? Or
no, we did maybe half a dozen shows in Bristol, and we did maybe half a dozen shows out of town over like a year. Like, it wasn't very many. Yeah, so I've hardly toured this stuff at
all. This is how everything's the wrong way around, I think, because really the best way to be ready to be in the studio would be to have toured them for 2 years and really be good at them. But most of us always end up doing it the other way around.
Yeah.
And I just found that it sort of means that a bit of air is missing and a bit of ease, and also, you know, flair and like those little things that you just develop on the way, you know, like little details. And I guess what I'm getting at is that with this system, at least like the ideas are really getting explored. And
yeah,
we're not actually committing anything to vinyl yet or CD. We're going to do that at the end, and we're releasing most of the music won't actually be released into the world. It'll be on Patreon, and then the Patreon community and us will decide what should go on the vinyl.
Wow.
So we will choose what's there.
And then make a definitive record of like one version of each song.
Maybe it wouldn't be, I don't know how, whether we'll one of each, because
I think that's what it meant by like you're going on this journey and you're taking us on this journey, and like none of us, including you, know where it's going to end up. And I just think that's also ultimately collaborative as well, like you're and connecting and like using the community and like taking everyone with you as you go. And also, I'm so interested in what you said about the order in which we like that you think we should be playing shows for a couple of years and going into the studio and it being at ease. I feel like there's this culture of like songs have to be fresh in a studio and in a recording, because if they're not fresh anymore, they've lost their magic, or they're overplayed, or they're, I don't know, I feel like there is a bit of like
there's definitely a balance to be struck, because obviously sometimes, and the way I always think of it is the song doesn't want to be played anymore, and you know that you need to just put it down and rest it if you've really, but I there's a balance to be struck, I think. Maybe 2 years
I did have a lot of these songs in my life for a few years before the record. So like before I started playing with this band, I played half of them with another band and tried them out. And then they changed when I came back to them with a new band. And the other band that I tried them with didn't really like, we didn't play for very long. We didn't play very many gigs. So they did, some of them have been in my life for a long time, so I did feel settled with a lot of those when I got into making the record, which was really, really valuable. And I love that thing when you've been on tour and after like a few weeks, everyone's on fire. Everyone's just like so hot. If you find that balance of like everyone's playing it so hot and everyone's in love with it and you're just playing the shit out of it, but you haven't overplayed it yet, I think that's the magic. But so many bands go into the studio, especially with big labels. They're like, here's your studio, go write the album and record it. And they're writing and recording like as they go, and then they put it out and then they tour it. And it's like, what? Yeah, I think it's really interesting that I have thought before that that's the wrong way around, but I don't know if I was brave enough to commit to that opinion, but I like that you have.
I think there's probably, there's definitely different types of music where you probably could get away with it more. But I think if you want that sense of like ensemble moving as one,
mm-hmm.
And like everybody's super in the pocket with each other, then I always find it's like by the sixth day of like the sixth day of the tour, everything's like, and then you just want to carry on.
And I guess if you imagine those like old Motown and Stax records, like they were a bit more on the fly, but the band were in the pocket because the band were playing together all the time, and there was like a house band and a series of musicians that would always come in and be the same kind of people, and they'd all know each other. And so I think like that's quite interesting, is like if the band is in the pocket and like knows each other really well, and then they also have the freshness of like firing out a new song, maybe that's why those records are so good.
Ultimate communication. Yeah, it was the same house band a lot of time, wasn't it? Yeah. And you just, it's in your muscles and it's in your,
Yeah.
It's all about familiarity and like all the little signals that you send each other. And
yeah.
I mean, I'd love to do, I've always wanted to do a really immersive, like, residential thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really work these days, does it?
Not with the cash flow.
The money?
Yeah. What about the money? Yeah. Yeah, it probably costs, I mean, to go somewhere like Rockfield for even a week is probably a few grand just for a week, isn't it? So, you know.
I think it's just taking, I don't really work that well under time pressure. It's, yeah. It doesn't. And the more I start thinking about, in terms of silver linings, I think one thing is a lot of musicians who maybe hadn't delved into this as much sort of were seeing the benefits of a home setup and like getting themselves a bit more clued up about how to record from home. And I know it's definitely not ideal because most people don't have, like, for example, a great sounding space, which is really important.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways for a lot of instruments, but just that sort of sense of self-reliance, I think, is really nice that people are sort of cottoning on more to that didn't do it before. But also I think it is just a really good mirror. You know, when you play something and record it and then listen back, it can be very unforgiving, but it also teaches you a lot about how you deliver things. And I can just wade into that world and be, you know, with cello or something like that, or with vocal, but just the very tiny details and how you're delivering something, it's a world of choice.
Yeah, I would have loved to have come straight out of the studio and gone straight on tour, especially because of that delivery with the vocals. Like, I learned so much, but it also made me want to make another album immediately straight after, because I was like, think of all the things that I might want to do differently, which I want to try and hang on to, especially now that I might, if we're not touring, I might actually have time for writing. Yeah. So I might as well.
There's always those thoughts, isn't it? Yeah. I think that's why you're never done. Yeah. The work is never done.
Yeah.
Because you're never like, you always achieved, but it's never... You can never say, I've done that now. That's learned. That's I've done the cello. Yeah, it's learned now.
You said your silver lining. I've got a little. What's it called? Jingle that I play when we do our silver linings.
Silver linings.
Oh, sorry. I'm full of silver linings.
Let's for the sake of the hilarious jingle, do you have a silver lining? Just as well, thinking about like the changes that this year specifically has brought.
I think it is a very useful opportunity to take a bit of a bigger picture consideration of what I'm up to and why. And I also, in a bit of more of a kind of expansive way, think it's could be the opportunity we need to make big changes on the way that we operate as communities and how we look after each other, because, you know, it is at times of crisis like this that there's obviously governments and autocrats love it because it's actually an opportunity to take more control, but it is an opportunity to make a change. And I think I can see positive change around me as well.
You feeling hopeful?
I am feeling hopeful. Mm. Yes, I am trying. I think I probably feel different every day.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a playlist on, I've got it on Spotify. I know it's like the worst place in the world, but it's the most accessible thing for listeners to go to. Have you got a song that you like, just for any reason? It can be any kind of song.
Yeah. You mean a song, not one of ours, a different song?
I will definitely put some of your music on it, because I do that anyway, but and you can let me know which tracks but you want, but
I'll send you the Sonic Hug one, the actual one, and I'll send you the PS.
Yes,
that one would work well with what we've been talking about.
Okay, cool.
But I've really got into listening, almost every morning now I listen to and I'm not going to say this right because my French is not very good. But the do you know the Ethiopian nun Emmahoy Seg Mariam Gwebru?
No.
She's an Ethiopian nun that studied in Switzerland. And it's on the Ethiopics.
It's in their collection. Oh, I might have accidentally heard it because I have just like put that on for hours and hours before, just like,
oh, it's like solo piano. It's so beautiful, and it's really like, it's like being showered with crystal raindrops, but not in a spiky way.
Soft, soothing crystal raindrops of piano in the morning with a bowl of porridge.
Yeah, it's very calming and very settling. I really, really love it. So that's been, I keep coming back to that.
Which song?
Oh, actually the whole album. But I always, The Homeless Wanderer is particularly beautiful, I'd say, but it's just dull. The album's great.
Thanks. So great to talk to you. Really nice to catch up. And give my love to Ollie. And yeah, maybe we'll see you because it's Shepton Mallet. Maybe.
It's really not that far. I was actually thinking of coming to get a freezer on the weekend.
Well, drop me a text. Come for a cup of tea.
That'd be nice. Maybe I can finally meet Mrs. Nesbitt after all these years.
After all these years. She'll love that. She'll give you a snuggle. Cool. Well, I'm going to go because I'm still recording and that's unhelpful to my editing brain.
lovely to chat.
So nice to chat, pal. Oh, loads of love, Hannah. We'll speak soon.
Much love. Well done. You've done great work, and the release looked really cool. And I was really happy that you got some nice, tidy bits of radio play and stuff. So that was cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye. Speak soon.
Bye.
Oh, Hannah, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I got so much out of that, especially listening back a second time today, editing since we actually spoke. I feel very aware in a lot of these podcasts of mine, we hear stories of people taking time out, taking a step back, time to reflect, time to ask questions, to slow down. And in one respect, it is totally a consequence of privilege. I'm talking to people who are really likely to be in safe housing and safe health and personal situations. But I'm also mostly talking to artists. So whereas a lot of you listeners might not relate because you've maybe kept working in your jobs full time or have found new jobs at a full pace and or maybe have children or whatever your situation, the artist industry, my industry, and its resources have all been taken away. So I was just reflecting on that today, and I wanted to kind of acknowledge it. But I also think that that's our job. It's our job to, as artists and communicators, to take that time to digest and document and express our world, the world. I would, as always, be really interested to hear your thoughts. You can get to me via social media, either follow Nuala Honan or Phonin with Honan, has Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. If you're new today and you enjoyed this podcast, check out the other episodes. Please subscribe on your podcast platform to keep receiving these small pockets of joy. It continues to be very meaningful to me to keep you company as we navigate our way through this year, this pandemic. I will keep the Phonin with Honan Spotify playlist updated over on the podcast page on my website, nuala.honan.com/podcast, with contributions from all of our guests, season one and two. So guest musicians, their songs are on there, but also songs suggested by every guest. Cool. Thank you, and we'll see you again for the next podcast. Stick with us this series, and we'll see what happens. Stay safe out there. Take care of yourselves and each other.